Drive with Rob and Roz. Weekdays, 4 to 7, Jacaranda FM.
It's The Drive with Rob and Roz, and we are very lucky to be joined this afternoon by the wonderful Zelda Lagrantsi, who's got a new book out called What Nelson Mandela Taught Me, Timeless Lessons in Leadership and in Life. Zelda, welkom by die show, welkom vanmiddag, hoe gaan het?
Baie dankie julle, jessie, Rob en Roz's show. As ek in Pretoria is en ek luister radio, love ek wat julle doen. Ooh. So baie dankie dat ek hier kan wees saam met julle, baie geëerd.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. First question, because that's what the entire book is premised on. What does it feel like to turn your phone on after a plane and find out the entire country hates you?
Not good, not great, not your best day. Devastating, to say the least. And you have to get out of it. I mean, you have to really, really work hard at yourself, at, you know, overcoming the damage that's been done. Ask yourself a lot of very difficult questions, but you get through it eventually, and here I am, proof of it, and you learn from it. If you're willing to learn from an experience like that, it can be turned into a good thing in your life.
And I love that you've taken those learnings and that you've shared them with us in the form of this book. I was really, really enjoying making my way through it. For Mense Wat Nie Weet Nie, just very quickly, what happened?
So in 2015, January 2015, I was flying to the UK, and you know, where we all were very frustrated South Africans at that time. Corruption, you know, was the public protector's report was just released, and there was a lot of racial division between people in South Africa. And then the president played on that in his speeches, and I got very, very angry. I flew to London for work, and when I arrived in London, you know, throughout the night, I saw the headlines. Jacob Zuma blames apartheid for South Africa's debt or South Africa's woes or whatever. And I got so worked up, and without thinking, I just started tweeting when I landed, out of pure anger, which should be the first lesson, you know, and learn from social media, is never say something on social media when you're angry. So, you know, I didn't use very diplomatic words in expressing myself. I was angry, which was completely the wrong thing. And that caused more division and this outpour of, you know, well, just a devastating avalanche for me.
Ek wil eintlik vir jou en Rob iets vra, want julle is albei aktief op Twitter. Ek is nie meer daar nie. Dit is my net
mooi, baie geluk.
My rekening was gesteel, maar dit is 'n storie vir 'n ander dag. I want to ask the two of you, because you both engage with people that don't see eye to eye with you, because your views are your views, right? Do you find that that platform is just a place where people don't want to hear? Hulle wil nie hoor hoe jy jouself verduidelik nie. Hulle wil nie jou standpunt hoor nie. So is dit moontlik om 'n gesprek te hê met iemand wat regtig nie wil hoor nie?
Wat dink jy? Ek weet nie. I'll be honest, I'm not sure. I have had, but I wouldn't say that that's like, it's not, doesn't feel like the normal.
No, it doesn't. No, look, and you also, you are limited in terms of words and characters, and you can't measure intent on social media. So it's the worst platform to try and have a conversation. However, having said that, if we don't speak up about the things that we feel strongly about, we are allowing the fringe sides of society to take over. So, you know, not saying the things that I said in my Twitter rant, but using better language and more diplomatic and, you know, sensitive language. But I do think some of the best friends that I have today, Roz, I've met on Twitter. So it can be the best of both worlds. You meet wonderful people. You know, one of the things that I discuss in my book quite extensively is about Madiba seeking divergence. And we tend to only surround ourselves with the people that we agree with. Mm. We all do that. I do that. Whereas actually you should be listening, as you're saying, you should be listening to the other voices to balance your own voice, because he was a master at that.
Yeah.
And I got that from this whole Twitter experience of mine, is really looking at what do other people feel and think, and why is it seen that I was so insensitive with the things that I said? Weet, hoekom het dit mense so seer gemaak? En so dit, op die uiteinde was dit 'n goeie ding, maar dit moes my ook leer om beter te luister.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that. I love the bit in the book where you were talking about some of Mandela's experiences when he was young, and he was invited to sort of the elders' meetings as a small child and told, listen, you can come,
Yeah.
Don't speak. It's not that we don't want your opinion. It's that we want you to learn to listen.
Yes. And the only purpose of the regent or the leader of that meeting was also just to listen. And at the end of the meeting, the leader would summarize all the input he had been given through the presentations made in the meeting. So that had an unquestionable influence on Madiba's ability to listen. And I think that was what made him such a successful leader, is that he listened to children, he listened to world leaders, he listened to many different people, because he believed, you know, that is the way to make the best decisions, when you've informed yourself of all the possible scenarios.
How hard is it to acknowledge that maybe something that you've done wasn't the best way to handle a situation, and then to sit down and actually write a book about the difficult kind of things you had to realize about yourself?
Very difficult. That's why it took 10 years. Oh, 9 years. You know what? I think it's a process that you have to go through, because the shame that people now know that you've said these things, and the judgment that comes with it. A lot of the things that were said were not justified. So, you know, it's a process to go through that, and then to sit and to write it down. And I was very hesitant. I really, really struggled. But I realized that I have this now. I've done it. There's no getting away from it. You know, the internet doesn't forget. I have to encourage other people to be brave and to turn this around and to say, how can we be a bit more sensitive with one another? How can I be a bit more sensitive on social media? And not everything is black and white. And where's the nuance in social media? Mm. Do we see those things? And do we ask the right questions? And are we giving each other permission to learn?
Yeah.
Because that's the whole thing.
That's the most important thing, I think, is that we allow ourselves and each other that space to grow. And as you said, it was just a bad-tempered string of tweets.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't define who anyone is. And you were talking about where you pick and choose to take the criticism from.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago, I can't remember who said it to me, but it stuck with me my entire life, was don't take criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You were talking about there were messages from certain people who you did respect,
yes,
and go, okay, hang on, let me hear what everyone has to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then behind closed doors, you talk about, you know, chatting to Prof. Janssen, for example,
yes,
and just having actual conversations,
yes,
about these,
yes,
things.
And then being told, listen, what you said was insensitive because of A, B, C. Do you understand it? And that I appreciate so much.
Mm.
Because these people also don't know me. Professor Janssen didn't know me. Dr. Mkize, the deputy minister at that stage of Home Affairs, she didn't know me. Advocate Tuli Madonseli didn't really know me at that stage. But they phoned me out of the blue and they said, can we have a conversation?
Yeah.
And I cannot tell you how I appreciate that. It's famous people now that we talk about, but it's actually the ordinary person, and I'm sure you've read it, the ordinary person that hugged me in a line as I was applying for a visa, that actually pulled me through this whole experience, because it's just someone from the street. It's an anonymous person. Yeah. And she just said, can I give you a hug? And that really, when I say to you, it saved my life, it did.
Zelda, you've written that one of the most important lessons that you learned from Mr. Mandela was to constantly work on yourself rather,
yeah,
than wanting to change others.
Yeah. The thing that I heard him say most often over the 19 years was that it's easier to change others than to change yourself. Because he said when he went to prison, he was a very, very angry man. And he realized, and full of hatred, and he realized that unless he got rid of that hatred, he was not going to be able to unify a country. But he said it was very, very hard, and he found that the hardest challenge was to change himself. So we know how difficult it is. I mean, you know, I follow you on all your platforms, you know, with your the dancing, the pole dancing and the gymming. It's hard work to change just your physical appearance. So imagine, you know, we expect people also just to change overnight, and we don't change ourselves in the process as well. So I'm much harder, I think, now on myself and asking myself, have I learned sufficiently, you know, how to be respectful? Am I aware of what, you know, people are saying without using the words necessarily? Am I sensitive enough to other people's feelings? I must say, I feel much happier about myself being like that.
The book launch is tonight is the second one. It is in Johannesburg. Pretoria is done already. Die boek is wonderlijk. It's full of these lovely little stories. Tell us about the time Madiba came to you complaining that someone had stolen one of his toiletries from his hotel room
goodness.
Bathroom.
Yeah. We were in a foreign country, and when we got back from a meeting from the head of state, he realized something was stolen from his bathroom. And little did I know that he counted all the items in his bathroom, and he was meticulous about things like that.
One shower cap, one shampoo, one body
absolutely,
lotion, one bar of soap.
Because also, if you are Nelson Mandela, you don't get only the basics.
Yes.
You get in, you get an excess of everything. So it was spectacular because it was a luxury brand and so on. So something was missing, and he was very, very upset, and he made me call Jackie Celebi, or he wanted me to call Jackie Celebi in the middle of the night.
And just contextualize, what was Jackie Celebi's role at the time?
Yeah, exactly. He was the commissioner of police and the head of Interpol, okay? And I'm like, why are we calling Jackie at 1 o'clock in the morning? We can't do that. And Madiba was really, really so upset about this, because he said someone in our delegation is not to be trusted. And you know, he was a lawyer by training, so that night he became a prosecutor and he held a little court case in his room and interrogated everyone who had access. And
did he interrogate you?
No, he didn't. He said, luckily, thank goodness I went with to the meeting,
yes.
So I wasn't a suspect.
Suspect too, Lagrantie, and he's still.
No. And yeah, I said, he called me when I arrived in the room, he said, you, come in as a witness. And there I said. But we all knew Madiba well. You didn't mess with him when he got angry like that. No, you just never messed with him.
Yeah, it's part of his personality that you never saw in public.
No.
So you can't really imagine the man angry.
Exactly. But he had, because he was a human being, you know. So he had this anger as well. So he then gave the people in the delegation, he said to them, well, you know, if the person replaces the item tonight, I'll forgive and forget. Which the person did, and it was all over the next morning when I arrived for breakfast. And we left the hotel that day, and when I walked through his bathroom just to make sure, or his room, just to make sure that there wasn't anything left, I realized and I noticed that he didn't touch any of the items in his bathroom. He didn't open it. He didn't use anything.
This luxury branded gift.
Yeah, and if it was me, I would have cleared the room, the bathroom. And he didn't have a problem with you taking stuff in your own bathroom, you know, but not in his, because he is busy leaving a message to his hosts to say, I know you are wealthy and I'm not here to exploit you or to take advantage of you. So if that doesn't tell you anything about the man's integrity, then nothing else will.
Iri book, Timeless Lessons in Leadership and Life. It's the and life bit, because most Timeless Lessons in Leadership books are all about making more money for companies.
Yeah.
This has got nothing to do with that. Wat is die goed wat jy geleer het toe jy hierdie boek geskryf het?
Jessie, Rob, ek dink dis die selfondersoek wat ek moes doen en how to get there. En jy weet, net om weer terug te gaan en dit te sit en skryf, want jy nou, dis nie net iets wat jy lees of wat jy onthou nie, nou sit jy voor die rekenaar en jy sit en skryf. En dan dink jy aan die bewoording en jy dink regtig aan die diepte van hierdie les. So, ja, daar is baie leierskap in, want Madiba was hier die ongelooflike leier, maar dit is nie net vir leiers nie, dit is vir mense, jy weet, hoe makliker die lewe te gaan. Ons het so een ongelooflike voorbeeld in hom gehad. Jy weet, ons is so, dit is so makkelijk om negatief te wees in Suid-Afrika en te begin kla en goed, maar as iemand soos hy, weet, vir 18 van die 27 jaar in daai klein selletjie elke oggend kon opstaan en kon besluit, vandag gaan ek positief wees, ten spyte van die uitdagings. Jy weet, ons kan ook opstaan in die oggend en 'n keuse maak en sê, ek gaan my best probeer vandag. As hy dit kon doen, ook kan ek dit nie doen nie. So daai goed het weer als baie, baie sterk teruggekom vir my om, jy weet, meer deur te werk.
You know what, Zelda, I don't think that we thank you enough for giving us. Dit is amper soos 'n blik in die man as mens. Ons het almal hom so geëer en rarig soveel en ons dink steeds so baie van wat hy gedoen het. But you've given us a human element with all the little stories that you have. En dit was 'n ervaring wat jy saam met hom gehad het en nou kan ons dit amper met jou deel. En dit is in hierdie boek dieselfde.
Dankie, daar is baie, baie dankie. Ek waardeer dit. Weet jy, daar is natuurlijk baie, there's a lot of insight into Nelson Mandela. There's a lot of assessment around the character. There's a lot of books being, interpretations being put to the man. Rightfully so. This is not a Bible. This is my story, my journey, my interpretation of events. And I think the more people that put interpretations to that, the better, the clearer the message of Nelson Mandela will be in 30 years' time when I'm no longer alive, or 50, or I hope more, but whatever time I've got left. But I had this gift, this enormous gift of having spent time with this incredible human being. Why? I cannot tell you. However, I know that it's something to be shared. And I think I owe it to him. More than the world, I owe it to him to tell people who and what he was.
I really do appreciate that, because it's one thing to read a bunch of analysis about a person, and it's another one to hear their friends tell stories about them.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah. And you know what? This book is not for the academics and the intellectuals and the politicians. It's not for them. This is for ordinary people that can relate to me, Zelda.
Yeah. What Nelson Mandela taught me, timeless lessons in leadership and life. Zelda Lagrantsie, waar kry ons die boek?
Die boek is beskikbaar by enige goeie boekwinkel op die oomblik en is ook aanlyn beskikbaar. Die e-book is ook uit, so mense kan maar net Google die titel en What Nelson Mandela Taught Me en hulle sal daarby uitkom.
Alles aan die beste met die bekendstelling vanaand. Die tweede een, dit gaan ongelooflik wees in Johannesburg. Zelda Lagrantsie gesels oor haar splinternuwe boek.
Baie dankie julle, ek waardeer dit regtig.
Ongelooflik om hier op The Drive with Robin Ross te hê.